System Shock, a pensive project, 2025 project. This is going to be a lot more informal. This is more just my notes from the pensive project, rather than the kind of recursive fic that I wrote inspired by this. So you'll kind of get an idea of how I organize stuff. This was initially broken out and kind of mixed up a little bit more than I will be presenting it here. How I tend to like to try and organize these projects, at least in the last couple years, has been since we're following the plot of a series, I try and note down where we are in the series. So in this one, it was usually fairly obvious to me which episode Opal Song's snippet came from. We would usually get a few snippets in each drop of fic every week. So you would have a little bit from the beginning of the show, a little bit from the Ant Island place. I don't remember what it was called offhand. And like you would have a little bit from like, let's say the Demon Castle, and Jinu doing that castle. So, like, kind of, it goes all over the place in each thing, but I just kind of note down and make sure that those sections are broken out in my notes so that I can kind of rearrange things when I'm kind of trying to turn it into something else, into a thing that I can actually present. So this was kind of like my final kind of organization of the notes. Some of it will probably be still pretty inaccurate, but, and I'll also see if I have any additional notes that I think of compared to what my original was. The other thing I'd preface this with is I ended up with about 3,000 words worth of notes. I handwrite them, eventually transcribe them into the computer so I can reorganize them more easily. The actual part that I recorded and wrote about it was probably just on, of those 3,000 words, my 7,000 word ficlet only covers about 500 of the notes. So as you can see, I'm like maybe, what would that be? 500 divided by 3,000, that's 15% of the total fic that Opal Song wrote. My recursive fic kind of just expanded out upon that little piece. I got really into writing the ant fight, the spider fight. Opal Song talked a little bit before about how she didn't really like writing fight scenes, and apparently that's all I decided to write. I can get very into just like doing interior monologues, which Murderbot fighting is a lot of interior monologuing about a fight. So anyways, we will, I'll get started on actually reading my notes. This will, and we'll see how far I get before I get distracted again and just free talk. So starting. Murderbot arrives in the universe, taking it away from Dr. Mensa. It's never going to see the end of Sanctuary Moon if it can't get back, but at least this world has a lot of new media to look through. Weirdly, there's no unaugmented humans other than Jinu that have access to the feed, or internet that they call it here. That part, I really wasn't sure where it belonged. I'm pretty sure this part also had some references to like the fire guild master, but I couldn't figure out where it went. So since it's kind of talking about the more meta of getting into this universe, I kind of stuck up near the top. So then we get to Murderbot hangs out with Jinu at the hospital. Jinu is apparently the weakest healer, which is just flat out untrue. There's an awakened human with a power level of 2, but that human doesn't work as a hunter and is a distinguished medical professional. Jinu's been on an extremely high number of raids relative to his rank, and now that he is able to level up, he's going on a fuck ton of raids, but he's just less likely to instantly die. The system thinks Murderbot is a glitch, But it did give it identity credentials, and it's going by consultant Rin, I guess. Did a shitty job. Unfortunately, Murderbot has to go by he, him, because the oppressive gender binary. I had a slight reference to this bit, but I liked the idea. I ended up with the idea of Murderbot just same way it does with the kind of redacting all references to the company's name. It also just redacts every time someone refers to it as he, him. So it only happens like once in my ficlet. And then I'm like, nobody talks to Murderbot. And Murderbot just interior monologues. There's like a handful. And Murderbot's also like, I'm not listening to any of the conversation, which means I don't have to write any dialogue. It's great. Let's see here. There is the system in this universe. Note the particle with this, the system, because this universe doesn't have a hubsis or a medsis or a sexis. It just has the internet and the system. Jinu is still weak, but apparently can get stronger, which is very unusual for this world. And then around this time, they also find out the system can just spirit Jinu away and create dungeons completely independently. Jinu disappears for 2 hours in the middle of the night. Turns out doing your daily quest was important. And the consultant Rin identity becomes somewhere in here part of Jinu's family. I just didn't really figure out a way to work that in, so I just kind of ignored it. Murderbot can't see the system's UI, but can mess with the code. I kind of have Murderbot is able to see the UI. I don't, in my ideal is like, it's just kind of, if it's kind of like Jinu being an augmented human, I would expect that Murderbot would be able to interface with the kind of UI elements. I actually have, because they're all UI elements in this universe, I actually have it kind of worse than an actual augmented human, because I think they tend to just go into the code as well. At least that's my point of view on how, like, Gunthryn interacts with the code and Pin Lee. They're able to pull stuff directly into their feed and access it, like, at the code level. So I'm imagining there's something in these augments that lets them have some unique access like Murderbot does. Worse, because they're not a construct or a bot, but still, like, better than a visual input that they have to process that way. Anyway, that was my kind of nebulous, I couldn't find a direct episode to link this to. Some of it was like episode 3, some of it was like episode 2 maybe, most of it I think episode 3. Then we get to season 1, episode 4. We go outside a very suspicious, we're outside a very suspicious E-rank dungeon. Jinu is insisting on going in. I am rightfully upset that he is not listening to my very reasonable complaints that going alone is stupid. Obviously, he goes. I get the feeling he wouldn't listen to anyone. I wait outside the subway pretending to read, but actually I'm watching The Untamed. We talk a lot about that pretense as far as I recalled, but I didn't have any actual details. If I had actually used this part, I would have made stuff up for it, but I decided I really wanted to just gloss over it because I had already written 5,000 words for episode 5 and 6. So that was my notes for episode 4. Episode 5 and 6 from Solo Leveling. We meet Jinu's sister and bond over a Korean drama series. I have it down as Hunter and Moon, but like I could not find what the actual series was. I'm pretty sure it was an actual Korean drama, but anyways. She's incredulous that Jinu could have made a friend who likes dramas. Murderbot wants to dip, but Jinu is immediately like, this is Rin, he'll be staying with us for the near future. They get to a dungeon where we meet Jinu. Thankfully, Murderbot can come this time, unlike the secret dungeon eye rolls. Murderbot is very annoyed at the incompetence in the attempts to kill it. It's more or less like, not super cool of you to try and kill us, but you're also just so bad at it. Yikes, my guy. How are you going to get gold out, idiots? Jinu fought the spider while Jinno and Murderbot hang out on the sidelines. Murderbot shoots the spider a few times with its energy weapons, but still trying to keep it low-key from Jinno. It has a sword. I forgot about the sword. I meant to go back and include it, but I didn't. It has a sword that it's mostly planning on using. Jinno thinks we're false rankers. We don't fit that profile at all. Murderbot's initial inclination when it sees the choice the system is trying to force upon Jinno is just kill the evil hunters itself, but the system freezes its body. There's a big hack fight between Murderbot and the system, which eventually results in it locking the system out from its systems. Magic sucks. And it successfully changes the quest from kill or be killed to kill or lose some gold, so who cares? Eventually, it wins the hack fight with the system. It does get stabbed by the evil hunters while frozen and have to use its full recovery ability. It despairs over the thought that it's going to be responsible for giving Jinno the trauma treatment for, so you killed your first human, to Jinno. It has to be this emotionally supportive one? Oh no! That's my episode. So that's where, basically, that was all that went into. And we are only on episode 7, and I have a lot more notes. So, episode 7. I have one line. Murderbot waits outside the demon castle dungeon for the first time. It's watching Supernatural and having a lot of feelings about it. Why are they going into the afterlife? Why angels? Why introduce any of this? It's making the plot more confusing. Throughout Opal Song's work, none of the series, I think, are actually, like, name dropped. They're all just descriptions about it. So these are I don't remember the descriptions for the most part. So I mostly just wrote down what I thought my best guess was for the series it was watching in that moment. And that's my episode 7 summary. Episode 8 and 9. Jinno and Murderbot answer the call for a D-rank raid. Jinno is reunited with the hunters from the raid in episode 1, where he got his powers. These were the folks who left Jinno for dead. But Jinno still likes them, and Murderbot guesses it'll put them on its client list. I won't let anything happen to them. We have a very nervous healer, a more reliable mage, and I had another mage in the party, but I'm pretty sure the last guy is, like, a melee guy, so I kind of corrected it when I transferred the notes into my document. We go into the dungeon, and we split into two groups. Ugh. But everyone I care about goes into my group, and the other group is criminals and the inspector. I'd object, but Jinno wants to go kill the boss, and he doesn't want the criminals or the inspector around for that. I don't like corporates or the government officials, excepting Dr. Mensa. Murderbot's also hopeful that Jinno will explain his power to his friends, or maybe he'll just distract them. I was monitoring the system as we went in, and it was very quiet. No attempts to change the difficulty of this dungeon. So wish I had my drones. And I think part of this is where there's a lot of obsession of, I don't have my drones in the thing I wrote, kind of pulling from some of these other bits of the story that I knew I wasn't going to be able to work in. Anyways, so wish I had my drones. This world's action serials has some small cameras. Maybe I could start sticking them on people. As it was, I was just stuck turning my hearing way up as we separated. So far, we were not dealing with anything alarming, just some grunting from the criminals. But then there's a shout of pain from one of the criminals and laughter from the government employee. I pause. The healer notices and asks me what's wrong. I'm going back to the other team. I let them know before rushing off at near my top speed. I don't want them to follow, and I am much faster than them. Jinno could keep up, but he won't leave the group undefended. I arrive on scene, and one of the criminals is dead. Another has a broken leg. I suspect they were the instigators. I would expect that they were the instigators, except the government officials' creepy laughter. We'll need to do better to reach the creep factor of a sec unit. I want to roll my eyes, but I resist. He starts monologuing at me, but I'm distracted with the sudden flurry of activity from the system. I dive in deeper. It's trying to set Jinu with another quest to kill this guy. I crack the code for the reward as I divert the same attempt to freeze my body. I make a minor tweak so the item will drop no matter who kills this guy, though only the player can equip it. Boo. Hiss. The guy takes off towards me as Jinu and the company arrive. The system tries to initiate the quest. I block it. The guy is invisible with the same stealth skill the item will provide. Interesting. The system is still highlighting his position for Jinu, which makes it obvious for me where he is too. He stabs me. I grab the hand with the knife, twisting it till I hear the crack. I flip him over me so he's prone on the ground, and then I shoot him with my energy weapons. Jinu immediately relaxes. The healers are very good and are going to treat the man with the broken leg. She flirts with Jinu, who is oblivious, and treats her like he does his little sister. Then we have episode 10. They are doing a bunch of the, I think, C-rank dungeon. It might be D-rank dungeons. They have Jinna's friend, who is an E-rank hunter from high school, and she is the only one who is disappointed not to be going in. Murderbot just wishes no humans were going into the dungeon. Looking at you, Jinu. Then I don't have anything for episode 11 or 12. Episode 13 and 14. I think those were the episodes where Jinu's getting his necromancy quest, class. Murderbot does have, I think Jinu sneaks off to do this because later on there's a reference that Jinu surprises Murderbot with the new skill in this like episode 13 and 14. But like, I don't remember any actual clips on episode 11 or 12. So anyways, episode 13 and 14. We have Jinwoo's sister has a parent-teacher conference. I contemplate impersonating Jinu, but that's how serials turn into rom-coms. No thank you. His sister wakes him up and we both go. They meet up with her E-rank friend and everyone thinks we're dating. Why? Jinu and Murderbot. Also, Jinu doesn't recognize Hong Sung-gi. I had to look up the name. It's Jinna's friend who is the E-rank hunter. And then Murderbot's question on why does he know her friend? Why does it know her friend? And of course, it's because it's running background checks on everyone it meets. And everyone Jinwoo and Jinna know. They go into another dungeon. And it immediately turns into a red gate so that no one can leave. Some of the stuff still happens. I think we go over that of everybody, all the strong hunters being like, we're going to go off and do our own thing. Yikes, all the E-ranks are going to die. Except for one of the strong hunters sticks with Jinu and Murderbot. Murderbot is unhappy to learn that Jinu is now the Shadow Monarch. As they discuss how they're going to deal with the ice bear monsters, Murderbot is like, the system is already pushing you to kill more humans. Do not do it. Jinu is like, whatever. Jinu kills the ice bears and Murderbot keeps him and the rest of the party members safe. Murderbot steals code from the system to uses to monitor its humans. Waits 3 days while Murderbot does its best to avoid everyone. Ice elves finally attack, but before they get there, the original leader shows up. Murderbot saves the kid. Turns out Murderbot's augments make it slightly faster than a D-rank, which doesn't seem right. I feel like I'm misremembering something here, but like, whatever. The elves talk to Jinu. Murderbot's translation module finally catches up by the end where they say Jinu isn't human, which, fuck them. But also, they have no clue what Murderbot is other than not human. Thank God. Big fight. Good to see Jinu isn't just letting his shadow minions take up arms, but can still fight himself. They eventually win, Murderbot joining with energy weapons. Other humans look mildly horrified, look on in mild horror and awe. The first time Murderbot sees Jinu use his awakened powers on a dead human. I guess the shield guy still the tank guy still dies. I don't remember. Mixed feelings about that, but having the tank does make a big difference in the fight. Oh, here's episode 12. I just have it out of order. Oh, well. Murderbot waited outside of the dungeon where it's not allowed in. It watches self... What is it called? SVSS? I don't remember what it's... scum villain self-saving system. There's an anime on it. It's messaging Jinna about the show. Jinu teleports out, a bit damaged, but not as bad as the first time he went in there. Season 2, episode 16. Folks are starting to suggest I get reassessed with Jinu. I hate the attention, but fuck, I do see the need if I'm going to stick with Jinu. Unfortunately, I am not actually awakened human, and the only skill I have is full recovery. My energy weapons and feet are just part of me. The machines might just register me as a monster. Hence the suggestion that I should just hack and fix my ranking that way. The system has largely been unhelpful to me since I locked it out. Identity card and a single skill, so all I got. So I would have to be significantly more subtle if I was going to be hacking the system. I give myself an A rank, which folks believe it, which is nice, because I don't actually have control over energy. Control being a very specific skill. Luckily for me, most of the attention landed on Jinu after the test. His name is rising faster, which I am all for. Plus the two distractions of the guild leaders showing up to fight over Jinu. Unfortunately, I am still linked to him, so I'm not completely unnoticed. There's a huge media frenzy outside, and Jinu, the asshole, just completely ditches me. I turn around and immediately pull up the building's blueprints, go through the back exit. Unsecured on the internet, they're all idiots. It was fun to play along while snubbing the guild leaders and asking about a dinner I want eat as we walk past the guild leaders. Then we have episode 17 and 18. We're going to the mining camps to kill time. Many negative feelings about being with miners again. Murderbot is determined to protect them. It sucks and it's extremely boring, which is why I was burning through a show Jinu's sister recommended me. It was a Western one. I apparently could not remember what exactly show it was. But like, fuck, I was letting Jinu go into an A-rank dungeon on his own. Of course, the humans here are still throwing themselves at danger just for profit. I'm apparently rated as a special A-rank, and they asked me to come back. It doesn't make sense because there's no evidence I can find that that is a rank that exists in Korea. The super guy, guild leader guy who can shoot fire was there waiting for us with the White Tiger Guildmaster. They were fighting as we walked out. This, of course, is making everyone act really weird, but at least Jinu was with me there. And if I could be normal, I'd take it in an instant. First day at the mines was awful, sucked enough, but then Jinu wanted to go back again. Vomit emoji. So we go back. Somehow, we both end up as helpers for the team clearing the dungeon. They're attacked, and Jinu starts to subtly help them. I stand between Jinu and the too observant mage. I'm helping. Thankfully, the captain is at least competent to recognize enough to recognize that his team is outclassed and calls for the retreat. Then the system does something when we get to the gate. Can't tell what. We get captured and taken to the orc's leader. They start attacking, and Jinu stops them. I get the captain to safety and shoo the other humans back. I deploy my energy weapons and hit the boss. It's injured. Does that mean my energy weapons are an A-rank weapon? But it is still active. I figure out through hacking the system that I'm also able to hack spells. It's like coding while intoxicated, though both me and Jinu are immune to intoxication. Jinu asks me to protect the humans while he asks the captain if he can deal with the boss. The captain chooses not to commit suicide and agrees to let Jinnu fight. I agree to protect the humans. Jinnu's shadow army is going to be way more effective at dealing with another orc army than energy weapons. This is where I learned how to hack spells. The fight. I'm starting to realize why Jinnu wants to be reassessed. Nobody listens to him until they're about to die. It's a lot like how no one listens to constructs. At least he's still considered human, even if he was prone to injury. We end with Jinnu gaining another ridiculously overpowered spirit and another guild leader in our debt. Then we jump to episode 21. Jinnu's back from the demon dungeon where I can't follow. This time, I finished hacking the system using a combination of what I'd learned hacking spells and the way I can get in to view the stats. I used to not be able to tell anything about Jinnu when he was in special dungeons. Now I can monitor his stats while doing the demon castle dungeon and see what floor he's on. Mana is going down. Mana is going down, so Ingress, the night shadow guy, is getting a workout, and Jinnu's having to resummon him. Episode 21. Jinnu revives his mom, introduces the wyvern, I don't know how to pronounce it, to Murderbot, who has very mixed feelings about a new person, his mom, not the wyvern, in their apartment, but it's not that bad. Jinnu is invited to the Jeju Island raid and for once turns down the opportunity to jump into danger. We still go to where the Japanese and Korean teams are meeting to spar. We're not participating, obviously, until Jinnu intervenes in the fight and gets challenged by their leader. It quickly gets out of control and I hear folks around me start murmuring worriedly. I wait for someone else to step in, but they all seem frozen and resigned. I jump down and grab both their fists before they can connect. As punishment, I am also now invited to Jeju Island. I'm about to say no, but they clarify it'll be as a non-combative role. For some reason, this has me saying yes before I can stop myself. Jinnu offers to spend a night in my shadow. This just makes my ominous feeling grow. And then we get the last bit I have, episode 22, and possibly onward a little bit. Jeju Island is a shit show. None of the Korean hunters have earpieces. I hacked the Japanese earpieces, though, and things are mostly going to plan until we take out the queen. Then the prince, does that actually follow? Special biped Ant-Man starts wrecking shit. It takes out the Japanese hunters, fuck them for thinking to abandon us, before it comes to us. It's kind of rocking our shit, but we have an insane healer keeping people up until, for some reason, the tank mentions the healer. I throw myself between the healer and the ant, take a big hit, lots of missing organic components this time, and both me and the healer go down. I quickly tell him to play dead and confirm he can heal from a distance. I send a system alert to Jinnu, and he arrives out of my shadow. I spend the rest of the fight coordinating the healing. At the end, I use full recovery and hope everyone assumes my fluids, decidedly not blood, are from the ant. And then I had no idea where to place this bit, but I really liked it. I thought this was an interesting... I like the idea of Murderbot thinking about the sentience of the monsters and the shadows. I think that's an interesting question that I don't really feel like solo leveling is ever going to touch, but whatever. So somewhere in here is Murderbot thinking about the sentience of the monsters. Most monsters are drones. A single, simple command like the most basic of bots. Elites can be more complex. And then Ingress and Tusk were the closest to sentience. Murderbot gives Jinnu shit about naming things. Humans will always name everything, and it's never a good choice, but Jinnu is worse than most humans. There wasn't a governor's module in either Tusk or Ingress, but their loyalty was actually programmed in at a systems level. Murderbot does not like that. It's like, that was something. And it's determined if it can ever tell that they develop sentience, that it'd go through and change that setting, and delete that programming. And that's my notes. So yeah, a lot of it didn't make it in. Some pieces I tried to work in, even though I didn't really. So like things like the system being weird of like the code, the way the system's interacting with code, kind of being the spells. Like I tried to work that in a little bit to kind of connect those. Had Murderbot being very protective of Jinno, which was kind of like what I was trying to do. What I had for, I wrote so much on the assassin character. I had so many notes. I can't believe I didn't choose that section as the part I wrote on. Because I had a lot of notes about that fight. So I tried to take some of the elements from that fight into this. I'm trying to think if there is anything else. Where else was I? Anything else I tried to work in? I can't think of anything else. I tried to work in some of the mining feelings into just this one because, again, I wasn't going to get to the when they're actually going to go work in the A-rank mines, dungeon mines. I think that's about it. I do get kind of annoyed at the solo leveling universe, but this is a fun story. I liked writing in it, too. So taking my own take on some of that beginning stuff of how did Murderbot get here to, like, that first dungeon raid that it's kind of officially on. But yeah, so anyways, I hope you enjoyed listening. This ended up getting way more rambly than my actual notes. I don't think I'm going to transfer it over because I'm lazy. But, yeah, anyways, I hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks, Opal Song, for putting this on year after year. It's always been a lot of fun to participate in. So, yeah, I think that's it. Yay, Murderbot. I love Murderbot. There's a new book coming out next year in 2026, June 2026. New Murderbot book. I'm really excited about the new one. Little worried about it, but we'll see how it goes. I have a lot of faith in Martha Wells being a fantastic writer. So I think it'll be pretty good no matter what. Anyways, thank you for listening. I will sign off now. Bye.